In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord, O ye servants, praise ye the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from henceforth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. High above all nations is the Lord, above all the heavens is his glory. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, and looketh down on things that are lowly, in heaven and on the earth, who raiseth up the poor man from the earth, and from the dunghill lifted up the pauper, that he may seat him with princes, with the princes of his people, who maketh the barren woman to dwell in a house, and be a mother rejoicing over children. That's Psalm 112. And the whole thing is beautiful, but especially the end, which applies to today. Now, you're not barren in terms of the world. You've had children. But all of us without Christ are barren because we cannot become good. But with Christ, with being remade, becoming a new creature in the water, we now can be like a mother in a house who was formerly barren, rejoicing over her children. You know, the scriptures have a lot of barren women in them. And you can see, if you read them, you feel their joy when they had a child. Joachim and Anna, Elizabeth, Zechariah. But you especially see in Sarah the great joy of a barren woman having a child. Because the name Isaac means laughing. And the reason she gave that name to him is because when she was told, when she was eavesdropping, and the angel of the Lord, that is Jesus Christ, told Abraham that they would have a child at that season next year, she laughed. But her laugh was bitter. Her laugh was painful. It was ironic. Because she knew that she could not have a child, because she was well past the age of being able to have a child. And then when she bore Isaac, she laughed. And this laugh was a laugh of joy, because she had a man-child. So this verse at the end describes what has just happened. Someone who was formerly barren, good in some sense, but not good enough to be able to be in the presence of God without shame, barren in other words, is now able to be a woman in a house rejoicing over her children. Now these children are the virtues. And we pursue the virtues. We pursue the virtues because God has the virtues. To put it in a kind of a crude way, God, you can't really describe God at all by really what he isn't, except by what he isn't. He isn't bad. He isn't cruel. But even to say God is good does not really describe him. But we can, for the sake of argument, just say God possesses all of the virtues perfectly. And we pursue them because we want to be like God. Because we have tasted him a little bit in the water. We taste him a little bit in prayer. We taste him a little bit when he visits us despite our sins and gets through to us even though we're kind of dull, hard of hearing. And because we taste him a little bit, we want more. So that's why we pursue the virtues. Outside of the church, many people think of the virtues as something that are something holy what they're not. They either think the virtues are unimportant, or think that anything that they describe is a virtue. Or they say, well, because they believe in God, they believe in Jesus Christ, virtues are insignificant. You tell that to a mother, formerly barren, who has a child. You ask that mother if that child is insignificant. That child, of course, I told you before, is our virtues. It's very significant to become good in the heart. Because then you can have peace in the heart. You can clear your heart out of all that stuff that's in it. And it's a very deep heart. And God will abide in it. And it just so happens that despite the fact that we are small, we have a heart that is big enough to contain the one who created the entire universe. And that's made possible by baptism. Now usually, after a baptism, I'll talk about Romans chapter 6, the best scripture on baptism in the scriptures. Or perhaps something about the gospel that was read, which is one of the first resurrectional gospels from Matins, a selection from Matthew. And that's all good to know, and you should know that theology in the background. But fundamentally, now, Nana, you can rejoice because you're no longer barren and because you can have many children not just one or two or ten, but an infinite number of children, and to have virtues in your heart. So it is important after your baptism to struggle to attain these virtues, because with these virtues comes peace. God wants you to have them. Now, he will not give them to you. He will assist you in gaining them, but he won't give them to you. And if you taste of him, you will want to have more. I'll read it one more time. I read the Psalter every day, and I harangue you to read the Psalter as well, all the time. And I just read this a couple days ago. I was marking my Psalter three dots, things that I want to talk about someday. There's getting to me almost more dots than there are verses without dots. Who maketh the barren woman to dwell in a house and be a mother rejoicing over children. Glory be to God for all things. Amen.